This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Today we're talking about a surprise in President Bush's State of the Union address earlier this week. Many people listening to the president that evening did a double take when they heard his plan to make the country less dependent on foreign oil. The president proposed a plan doubling federal spending on research for hydrogen-powered cars.
A simple chemical reaction between hydrogen and oxygen generates energy, which can be used to power a car, producing only water, not exhaust fumes. With a new national commitment, our scientists and engineers will overcome obstacles to taking these cars from laboratory to showroom.
You can join our discussion on this. Dial 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. To talk about this apparent boon for the hydrogen fuel cell industry is Robert Brose, Executive Director of the U.S. Fuel Cell Council. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Were you surprised by this announcement? I certainly was.
I was surprised a little bit by the White House's featuring it as perhaps its number one initiative, new initiative, if you will, for domestic policy, certainly on energy policy. I'm not surprised at the Bush administration's interest in hydrogen. In fact, I think that's been well known for a while and also very much appreciated.
I think a lot of people have heard about cars that run on natural gas. They're actually public buses in a lot of cities that do that. Hydrogen is a lot less well known. Without getting into too much detail, how's it work?
Well, hydrogen is a fuel just like any other fuel, whether it be a gaseous fuel or a liquid fuel. Most of us are familiar with gasoline, and that's also a very good fuel. And you can burn hydrogen, but the best way to use hydrogen is in a device called a fuel cell, which relies on chemistry and not combustion to produce the energy to move the wheels. Very low pollution, very high efficiency, and that's what's got the president excited.
And safe? I mean, hydrogen is not the most stable of substances.
Well, and any fuel, because it has energy in it, any good fuel is going to have safety issues associated with it. Certainly there are safety issues associated with both gasoline and hydrogen. People who've looked at it say that the issues are different, but no worse for hydrogen compared to gasoline.
Is anybody today driving a hydrogen-powered car?
There are a very few, but actually, a milestone of sorts was achieved on last December, too, when both Honda and Toyota put fuel cell vehicles in the hands of consumers for the first time in California.
Now, the president said that a child born today could be driving pollution-free hydrogen cars by the time that it's time for them to get their driver's license, 16 years or so from now. Is that timeline realistic?
Well, it may be pessimistic. In fact, as I said, there are vehicles on the road today. It may be possible for somebody entering middle school today to buy a fuel cell car as their first car. Those decisions will be made by the auto industry. It seems pretty clear that the technology for fuel cell vehicles is developing fast enough to allow us to think of commercial fuel cells by the end of the decade, and that's while they're hedging their bets. Most of the auto industry is hinting at the same thing.
Hinting that.
They will be able to mass produce fuel cell vehicles by 2010 or so. Now, that saying that they'll be able to isn't the same as saying that they will. And people need to be vigilant and need to communicate to the industry their interest in buying one in order to assure the industry that it can be a commercial success as well as a technological one.
Before we continue the discussion here, Reed White sent in a kind of point of science here. I wonder if you could help answer this. He writes, hydrogen is not a source of energy. It is simply a clean way of storing energy like a battery. And you talked about a fuel cell. Oil or other energy sources are still needed to create the hydrogen. Hydrogen cars will be worthless, he writes, unless we have a source of energy to create the hydrogen. And so he asks, is there a plan for solving the fundamental problem here? Is that true, first off?
Yes, but it's not a fundamental problem. I think, recognizes that, well, one way to look at hydrogen is it's an energy carrier, and it's one that can be used cleanly and efficiently, and those are the benefits. Clearly, like any other fuel, it has to come from somewhere. This is not a perpetual motion machine, after all. It's a practical device. So where you get the hydrogen from is another matter. You can get it from sunlight, for example. You can take water into hydrogen and oxygen. There's a fuel cell car out there running on a kind of soap. That's one of the things that people have.
Taking a clean burning car to new heights.
I'm going to steal that line. I hope you don't mind.
Take it away. You're welcome to it.
It is the case, people shouldn't misunderstand that the promise of the fuel cell vehicle is not that it will do away with the need for energy, but that it will allow us to use ultimately our own supplies of energy cleanly and safely.
But now Reid White's letter reminds me of a major challenge in alternative fuels. I recall this from the debate over ethanol, which of course has been used in cars for decades. But until recent years, and I think to some degree still today, it takes more energy to get the ethanol, to create it, than you get out of it in the end. And so there's some question as to whether it's really that valuable to the environment or not.
Well, in hydrogen, that isn't the case. Obviously, it takes energy to produce the hydrogen, but you can extract energy from the hydrogen as well. There are fuel cells, for example, that will run both ways, if you will. They will generate hydrogen, and figuratively turn a switch. They'll use the hydrogen to generate electricity.
Now, the president's plan to lessen our dependence on petroleum-powered vehicles has not been without critics. And joining our discussion by phone from his office here in Washington is Kevin Mills. He is director of the Environmental Defense Fund's Clean Car Campaign. Kevin, welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So is this plan the best way to lessen our dependence on oil?
It really isn't the best way to address the urgent need we have. We think it's fine for the government to invest in research and development for a technology that may someday make American industry more competitive and provide some long-term potential to reduce oil use and global warming pollution. But we can't confuse this with an energy policy. The real issue is that we have an urgent need to reduce our oil dependence and decrease global warming emissions. Cars and trucks are the leading contributors to both of these problems. Transportation is responsible for two-thirds of oil use in this country and a third of our global warming emissions, and passenger vehicles are the biggest part of that. So what we need are policies that will hold automakers accountable for these urgent problems that are caused by their products, and there are many current fuel-saving technologies that could safely and affordably lessen our oil dependence now.
800-989-8255 is the number that you can call if you'd like to join our discussion. That's 800-989-TALK. Bob Rose, you represent the U.S. Fuel Cell Council. Before we go any further, this council promotes the use of fuel cells like hydrogen, I assume.
It's a trade association, 115 members approximately, and dedicated to commercializing fuel cells of all kinds for all applications.
Supported by?
It's a membership organization supported by the member dues.
Okay. I wonder what about the question that was just raised there by Kevin Mills. Is this hydrogen proposal, I mean, putting it in the State of the Union speech like this, is it something of a distraction from much larger issues and more immediate ones?
Well, first, I think I heard an endorsement by Environmental Defense of the research program, and I appreciate that very much. As to the issue of what to do in the while fuel cell vehicles and hydrogen fuels are being developed for commercial use, it's a legitimate question. We need an energy policy in the United States. We think that what the president announced is a starting point for that debate. We would in fact like to see some discussion of a broader, more comprehensive program ourselves that would move forward all of the kinds of fuel cells and all of the applications. But clearly, it was an act of leadership, and I don't think we should minimize that. No other president has ever said, maybe hydrogen can become a consumer fuel someday, and that by itself has been tremendously liberating. But to address these specifics, the Department of Energy is investing approximately $70 million now on conventional technologies. The auto industry, I think, clearly has felt the pressure, and several auto companies have announced their intention to put hybrid vehicles on the roads, and they're starting to respond to the kinds of pressure that Environmental Defense has brought forward.
And before we go any further, I want to mention that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. As always, you can join our discussion by calling 800-989-8255. Hector called that number from Syracuse, New York. Hector, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, how you doing? First-time caller, appreciate you taking my call.
Glad to do it. You got a question for us?
Yes, I was wondering why Americans haven't embraced diesel vehicles more. I mean, I drive a Jetta, a VW Jetta, that's a diesel vehicle. I get close to 50 miles per gallon, and I understand that, you know, diesel, you can extract more diesel fuel from a barrel of crude oil than you can gasoline, and if you get, you know, the efficiency of the engine, you get more miles to the gallon. Wouldn't we be lessening our need for foreign fuels that way now?
Kevin Mills of the Environmental Defense Fund, what do you think?
Well, the diesel has been embraced in Europe to a much greater extent. It's quite commonplace. And one of the reasons for the difference is that European clean air standards are laxer than ours, and there's quite a bit of concern in this country about high emissions from diesel vehicles of what we call particulate emissions, the larger particles that can embed in your lungs, and they're some very small particles that there is some great health concerns about that are much more prominent in diesel vehicles. And there are also some air toxins that that people are concerned about. And so there's quite a bit of talk from the auto industry these days about bringing diesel vehicles here in greater numbers. But first, they have to tackle that clean air challenge and address not only their ability to comply with the existing regs that will be phased in over the next number of years, but these other health concerns as well.
Got a related email from Robert G. Kesey, who writes that hydrogen cars are 20 years away, which is a number that Bob Rose would dispute, but in any event, a number of years in the future. And he writes that what we need are two-stroke diesel hybrid electric cars. It is the large vehicles that need the hybridization, and General Motors, he says, currently has large buses on the road, which are hybrids. Kevin, or rather Bob Rose, can you give us an idea just what a hybrid is and where that fits into the picture here?
Certainly. While there are lots of different kinds of hybrids, the best way to look at it is that a hybrid vehicle is a vehicle that relies on both on two sources of energy to drive the wheels. In most cases, it's a combustion engine, either a diesel vehicle or gasoline, or a diesel engine or a gasoline engine, and a battery or other energy storage device.
Kevin Mills, does the hybridization meet with the approval of environmental groups?
Yes, we're excited about the near-term potential for the gasoline electric hybrid vehicles. There are three on the mass market today that any consumer can buy: the Toyota Prius, Honda Insight, and Honda Civic, and all of them get very impressive gas mileage in the neighborhood of 50 miles a gallon for a couple of them, and in the 60s for the other, and these are meeting with incredible consumer acceptance, outstripping what the auto companies expected to see. And there are wait lists for these vehicles. They really have not been able to step up to meet the demand, and much of that demand is driven by word of mouth. So we think that's one piece of the technology puzzle for the nearer term, as well as a whole collection of off-the-shelf technologies that are being sorely underutilized.
Bob Rose, very briefly.
The marketplace will decide whether diesel vehicles are competitive in the United States or not. They also have to meet environmental standards that they haven't yet.
Gentlemen, I want to ask about one more thing. We've just got about 30 seconds left. An email we got from Jeff Nicole, I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, of Hood River, Oregon. And Jeff writes, while I think this is a good possible long-term solution for weaning ourselves off fossil fuels, he means these hydrogen fuel cells, couldn't we make a more significant impact by raising the CAFE standards, the efficiency standards for current cars? Bob Rose, you're shrugging across the table.
No, not at all. That's an issue separate from the technology development of fuel cell vehicles. But, in fact, that is an issue that has been actively debated in Washington for many years, and I would suggest that that person should write his congressman where those decisions will be made.
Yeah, I would like to add to that the unfortunate thing is that the administration and automakers had used their investment in a fuel cell future to try and undercut attempts to hold automakers accountable for addressing these issues in the shorter term, and that debate over fuel economy standards last year was one place that occurred. And what we see is that if you could improve fuel economy by 5% per year over the next 10 years, which engineering studies say can be done safely and affordably, we would cut oil demand by 3.6 million barrels per day,
which is
more than our Mideast imports.
Got to stop you there. Kevin Mills, sure. Thanks very much. Really appreciate your time. Bob Rose as well. In Washington, I'm Steve Inskeep, NPR News.